All right, I will now officially open the public session of the IFRS Advisory Council on the 2nd of November. And a welcome to everybody, and in particular, I would like to welcome, and I know I have already done it in the admin session, but I will do it anyway, Stephen Buller and Alicia Poster from the FASAC and Sheila Fraser from the trustees, who are visitors or guests here as part of the council, and obviously to all council members. And I'd also like to acknowledge that this is the last meeting for a number of people on the council, and there'll be an opportunity to for me to give a bigger thank you, if you like, at the end of the meeting, and for those of you who are finishing up at this meeting, an opportunity maybe to say a few words as we close the meeting today. And also to congratulate those people who have been reappointed. There was an announcement that was made, for those that haven't perhaps seen it, on Friday from the trustees and largely from Sheila in relation to the new appointees and those being reappointed themselves for the upcoming year. And I know that some of you are already sitting here as, if you like, observers or stand-ins for your current members, so welcome to you in particular as well, with the official timing starting on 1st of January next year. So you should have a look at that. But again, thank you for those who have participated, and congratulations to those new appointees. I'd also like a very big thank you to everybody involved in putting the agenda and papers together. It is an enormous exercise, and also in terms of organising everything here and getting us all into this room. And again, they can't help the fog, which is why there are a number of people not here at the moment. Just in terms of the summary of the meeting, I think that it is going to be a full-on meeting, the opportunity for us all to participate very much, because we have, unlike last meeting where we had no breakout sessions because of the way that the topics fell, this time we have two very substantive matters to consider in groups. Obviously the two documents out for consultation at the moment, the opportunity for us as Advisory Council members to provide our feedback to both the trustees and the board in relation to those. So I think that that's really good. It's also an opportunity to hear from our counterparts with a slightly different mandate from us, but our counterparts with the FASB, as to what they are doing, although they do, as I say, have a slightly different remit, what we can learn from in terms of what they are doing, and an opportunity, I hope, for them to hear and see how we operate over the next couple of days and gain something from that as well. Also, an opportunity for us to consider the recent communication strategy, and I think it is both to understand what that is, but also to provide feedback about that communication strategy as key people out in the marketplace, as to whether we think that that is appropriate and will work in terms of the objectives. And for the first time, we're actually at, the suggestion is, we're having a session where you as members are leading particular sessions on items from your network and organisations that are relevant either to the strategic direction of the ISB or the foundation, or of relevance to our secondary objective around communications. I'd particularly like to thank Anne and Wojciech for volunteering for this session. And we also will have the honour of Masamichi Kono joining us from the Monitoring Board, who will also provide a brief update during that session. So I think that that is really positive to have that. So I think that, for me, summarises, if you like, what I think that we're in for the next couple of days. I think it will be really interesting. And I guess now is the opportunity just to think about what's happened over the last 4 months since we last met, and any observations really from, I'm going to ask Goro to make a few observations, and he's going to talk a little bit about the situation in Japan, and really any key factors that you think have arisen in the last 4 months that, you know, around the IFRS world or other areas. I've got a few things jotted down here myself. However, I'd really like to hear from you. So first of all, Goro, perhaps you'd just like to share some thoughts?
Yes. Thank you, Joanna, and good morning, everybody. And last time in June, that we heard that the JFSA, Japan FSA's presentation about the development in that IFRS voluntary application among Japanese companies. That in September, the Tokyo Stock Exchange released its survey on that the basic accounting selection policy of Japanese listed companies, which is quite encouraging. So that let me update that the Japanese situation first. In June, that we have found that some 70 or 80 Japanese companies have decided or already decided to voluntarily adopt IFRS, according to JFSA survey. But since then, that we had the earnings release of many Japanese companies have fiscal year ends at the end of March, and many of them announced that their fiscal earnings report in May or June, and the Tokyo Stock Exchange mandated them to disclose their listed companies' basic policy on selecting on the accounting standards. And what we have found by the latest earnings release that by March 2015, that some 112 companies have already adopted or decided to adopt IFRS in Japan. And their total market capitalization, some 100 trillion yen, or some nearly 25% or 7% of the total market capitalization in Japan. But the more recent survey of this Tokyo Exchange, they have found, in addition to these companies, that some other companies are really considering to voluntarily adopt IFRS. And they are not still announcing that as an official announcement, but as I said earlier, that some 24% of Japanese companies have already decided to adopt IFRS. But outside of this, that nearly 190 companies, and which represent some 17% of total market capitalization of TSE, are considering to adopt IFRS. And mainly because, Japan is not forcing to adopt or mandatory IFRS adopters, but these Japanese companies are considering to adopt IFRS because they have found merits to do so. Please, next page. Yes, assuming all these, in addition to those companies which have already adopted or decided to adopt IFRS, if we assume these companies which are currently considering to adopt IFRS, some 190 companies, in fact, decide to adopt IFRS, that the total market capitalization of these Japanese voluntary adopter would be some $2 trillion, which is just after the Hong Kong and the United Kingdom. So what we have found is also that Japan is not a mandatory IFRS adopter, but even with the voluntary adoption, that we have we can expect, reasonably expect, that the we have a, that Japan will become a quite large IFRS adoption jurisdiction. Of course, you know that the, it might be, you know, too optimistic for us to expect all these, you know, that the 190 companies which are right now considering to adopt IFRS voluntarily. But still, I have found that the, there is a quite good chance that the quite significant part of these 190 companies may actually decide to adopt IFRS. So this is an update from Japan. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Goro. I think that it's really encouraging to see that progress in Japan, and thank you for sharing that with us. Other things, and I guess in terms of when I was thinking about what's happened in the last 4 months, and from my perspective as an avid rugby follower, but also as a non-executive director from way away, there were two words, I think, that really struck me as to thinking about over the last 4 months and the impact. And I've written down here, investors, 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 and relevance, relevance, relevance. And I think that those are, that investors seem to me to be taking much more of an initiative around a whole load of things around companies, so not just around IFRS, but conversations around actually let's get rid of this short-termism and move to long-termism and thinking about what the implications of that are and getting more involved around the world in actually the role of investors. So I think that's come even more to the fore. And again, I think the relevance, relevance, relevance is of, and it keeps coming back, and I know I keep going on about it, but the relevance of financial statements, historical financial statements that follow a set of rules. And I actually thought that, and if you haven't looked at it, Pat, and he's not here yet, Finnegan's article that he wrote about what should be the role and agenda of the ISB in the future, in both the near and the long term, and the nature, format, and content of financial statements for businesses, and how should those statements be accessible, and what kind of accounting standards is needed in such a world. Thinking about, as he says in the article, just as some developments in the world of data communication seemed imaginary in 1985, that the potential answers to these questions may require us to imagine the world of accounting standard setting and financial statements in that same light. And so it is, and I think that that too really sets the scene for some of the things that we're talking about today in terms of both the agenda consultation and around the actual role of the foundation. So those certainly are the things that have when I was thinking resonated with me over the last few months is that and Hans as well in terms of that comment in relation to the materiality guidance that came out last week about financial statements are supposed to be a really good form of communication, and is that actually what they are right now? So those are the things that have been to me what has come hitting me. Does anyone else have anything to share as to what they've seen, any changes or things moving trends over the last 4 months? No, nobody willing to share at this stage. All right? In which case, I think that if no one has anything further to say on that, we might actually move straight on.